Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service for today, Sunday, the 5th of July. Over the next 6 weeks or so, I'm hoping that we will work our way together through a little book in the Old Testament called Haggai. And Haggai is a book all about a building or a rebuilding project. As God's people return to Jerusalem after a time of exile. And so it's really all about getting rebuilt and restarted as a community after a time away. And that's why I believe it will have some very important things to say to us as we prepare to return to in-church worship, hopefully before the end of July. Now, there are a lot of things to set in place to enable us to do that safely, and the Select Vestry are working very hard to make that possible, but we cannot reopen our church building until we have everything properly and safely set up. And so we would ask you, please, to be patient as we work through that process. In the meanwhile, our online services and our dial-up service will continue to support those who may not be able to come in person initially to church, those in vulnerable health categories, through age or through underlying medical conditions or through pregnancy. And we remind everyone that as we begin to think about that period of time when we can return to in-church worship, that if you have displayed any symptoms of COVID-19 or you are recovering from the virus, the medical advice is that you do not join us for worship in the initial stages. And we would ask you, please, just to stay at home for a while longer and to tune in online to our services through the online services or to dial up if you don't have access to the internet and to receive our services through your telephone. So today in our service, we're going to think about God's priorities as we introduce this little book of Haggai and we set the scene. And as we do so this morning, our opening hymn is a powerful hymn about seeking God's purposes and priorities as we sing the hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Shall be free.
Our Bible reading today comes from the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said at the beginning of our service today, over the next 6 weeks or so, I really want us to look together at a little book in the Old Testament that we may not be too familiar with. It's a book that's positioned among those last few books of the Old Testament, right in the middle of Zephaniah and Zechariah lies the book of the prophet Haggai. And it's a book that's all about a building or a restoration project. And that's why I believe it seems to be very relevant to us as we begin to prepare for emerging from lockdown. And to be honest, I really started to prepare this series on the book of Haggai during Lent 2020, and I never got to complete it. And so I just thought we might use this series as a springboard to getting ready to return to worship as a gathered community, hopefully by the end of July. And what a wonderful day that will be when we can be together as God's people in his house to worship him together. If there's anything that we have been learning over these past few months of lockdown, it's not so easy in the complexities of modern life to get our priorities right, is it? There always seem to be pressures. There seem to be demands and expectations and tasks that push in upon us from all sides. Everyone seems to want something from us. Our families and friends, our employers and schools and colleges, our clubs and societies that we're part of, and indeed our church too. And the challenge to getting our priorities right is not so much in the volume of the demands, though they are sizable, I'm sure, for everyone listening in to this service. But they're more to be resolved through our values, through what is truly important to us. And our values and our priorities will be reflected in the way that we use our resources, our finances, our time, our strengths, and our talents. And sometimes there is a real disconnect between the words that we use in stating our priorities and our actions or our lifestyle. As people of faith, we might boldly declare God to be the number one priority in our lives. And then in reality, we relegate him much further down our list as many other things crowd in upon us. 25 centuries ago, a voice was heard calling men and women to the right priorities. The prophet Haggai knew what was truly important. He knew what had to be done, and he challenged God's people to respond. And so today, as we introduce our series of studies in the book of Haggai, I just wanted to set a little bit of the background in looking at the first 6 verses of this little book. The background to this book begins with the captivity of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in the year 586 before Christ. And the temple, the symbol of God's presence, was destroyed at that time. It lay in ruins, and the people were forced into exile in Babylonia. Now, 48 years later, in the year 538 before Christ, King Cyrus decreed that the Jews could now return to their beloved city, and they were allowed to rebuild the temple. And so they traveled back to Jerusalem, and they began this work. But before too long, they forgot their purposes, and they lost their priorities as opposition and apathy brought the work on the temple to a standstill. And after this opposition put a halt to progress on the work on the temple, no further work took place there for over 15 years. Commentators suggest that it was around 520 BC when Haggai delivered his message to the people about rebuilding the temple. That's the message that we will be considering over these coming weeks. And the suggestion is that Haggai himself was probably born in captivity in Babylon and then eventually returned to Jerusalem with the governor, Zerubbabel, who we hear about in our reading in the year 538 BC. Now, Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the high priest, who are both mentioned in verse 1, were key leaders in rebuilding the temple. And in their initial flurry of enthusiasm, the altar had been reestablished. But then work on the temple slowed down. Opposition from hostile neighbors had caused the people to feel discouraged, and they began to neglect the work on the temple. And thus they began to neglect their relationship with God. But then Haggai's message turned them around and really motivated them to pick up their tools again and to continue on the work that they had begun. And when we think about our own day, it's hard in these days too, when so many people seem opposed to the work and the ministry of the church. It's very easy for us to feel discouraged in an era of falling numbers in terms of church attendance. it's easy to be discouraged and overwhelmed when the bureaucracy involved in putting on events and gatherings becomes increasingly complex. The document that we have to work through in order to return to worship in church is 21 pages long, and it's full of important guidance about all the safety measures and regulations that we have to set in place before people can gather together here in this building to worship God together again. But it's very hard to keep going sometimes when large sections of society see what you do as being completely irrelevant to their lives. And Haggai, rather like the church of our own day, he faced a time of apathy and inertia, when spiritual life had really burned very low. There was at the time a fairly settled political situation. People were fairly comfortably off. And all of this resulted in a disinclination to hear the word of God and to act upon it. Now, God's characteristic way of dealing with both idolatry and apathy among his people is very often to send prophets. And this is where Haggai and his message come into play, as he announces the word of the Lord that, if you remember, was given to him at a specific time for this specific situation. Haggai spoke at a time of drift and apathy, calling people back to God's values. And he was calling people to complete the assignment that had been given to them by the Lord to rebuild his temple. And God's message to Haggai, that message that Haggai in turn delivered to the people, became the catalyst for finishing this important project. And the key verse in the little section that we are looking at this morning is perhaps verse 4, where Haggai asks the people in a very pointed way, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house," and he's speaking about the temple, "remains a ruin?" It seems that the people were much more concerned with building up their own nice homes and houses than they were about finishing God's work. And this is when Haggai called them to get their priorities straight. It's very easy for any of us to make other priorities more important than doing God's work. But God wants us to follow through and to build up his kingdom. Prior to lockdown, many people will be aware that here in St. Finian's we'd been making some plans to make our church more accessible to people with mobility issues. And a lot of work had been done to bring the project to a point where we felt we were almost in a position to begin. Now, there had been many hurdles along the way. Hurdles with the planning authorities, with the neighbors. There were permissions to obtain from the diocese and from the central church. And there was the not inconsiderable challenge of financing such a major capital project. And it was due to the tenacity and the perseverance of our select vestry that we were coming close to the point where we would begin to actually realize this project. And then, of course, COVID-19 struck. And new priorities emerge about how we will need to do worship for the foreseeable future. New equipment may be required, which is a considerable expense that will enable those unable to be here in person with us to join in worship with us through other mediums. And of course, when we get setbacks like this, it's really easy to get frustrated, to feel overwhelmed, and to give up. But the prophet Haggai, I believe, calls all of us to see that this is actually more than bricks and mortar, that this is, in truth, a spiritual project. We want our children and our grandchildren to know the living God and to serve Him and to walk in His ways. And so that's why it is an important call to us to keep our eye on the projects that God has set before us and to rebuild His house here in this place. Now we notice in verse 6 of our reading that the harder the people work on their own plans, the more dissatisfied they become. Because the people had not given God first place in their lives, their work was not productive and it wasn't fruitful. And even their material possessions, which they placed so much store upon, they did not satisfy. And we see that God's blessing was withheld from them because of that shift in their priorities from God's project and His glory to themselves and their own fulfillment. Now I wonder, as we begin this series today, are we open to this very challenging call to make God's priorities our priorities as we look to a new season in the church's life and witness? Let us pray. Lord God, we want to pray today for your church throughout this land and indeed throughout the world as we emerge from lockdown. And we pray that your church, both here and across the world, would help us to focus on your priorities, on the things that you see as being the most important. Help us to invest our energy and our resources in these things. Help us to make worship and people and their care and their spiritual life the most important things that drive us. And help us to drive out all those things that cause disruption and deflect us from your purposes. Lord, we pray that we would be renewed in faith and that we would be excited to seize new opportunities to make you known. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray today for the nations of the world. And Lord, we pray especially for countries that are seeking to rebuild peace after war and civil strife. We pray for those governments that are trying to bring together divided people, those with different political aspirations. And we pray for the capacity of people to work together for the good of all. And so we want to pray for healing in the lives of those scarred by violence and hatred. And so we pray today for peace in Rwanda, in Burundi, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We pray for peace in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and in Syria. And Lord, in each of those countries and situations, we pray that you would raise up new leaders who would build your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. Today we remember before you, Lord, all those who have mental health struggles at this time. We pray for those who suffer with anxiety and depression. We pray for those who have lost confidence and who find it hard to be among people again after lockdown. We also want to pray especially in a couple of moments of quietness for any known to us at this time who are going through difficult experiences of sickness or bereavement. And as we lift them before you now in these moments, we ask, Lord, that you would be very real and very close to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn today gives us the model of Jesus, our servant King, as he calls each one of us to his service and to live for him. We sing the Servant King. Glory veiled. Thank you for joining with us in our service today. We are so glad that you could come and share in our worship with us here in St. Finian's. And as we bow our heads for God's blessing, may God the Holy Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.